We're jumping right into this one, folks. Why? Well, for weeks, we've been talking on continuing conversations all about the Federation Klingon tactical campaign, the new release, and we're going to play it because, you know, me and Jim don't get to play enough. And so Jim definitely doesn't get to play enough for as much as he is involved with these products. I'm Michael Dismuke. I'm a freelance writer for Star Trek Adventures RPG, lead writer on Captain's Log, a contributor to the Federation Klingon War campaign, but mostly I'm known for Continuing Missions, which is the number one blog site for Star Trek Adventure fans all over the universe. All right, and of course, this show is not a show without Jim Johnson.
Hey, everybody. Jim Johnson. I'm the project manager and line editor for the Star Trek Adventures RPG and the Captain's Log solo RPG, both published by Modiphius Entertainment, and co-host on this here show with Michael. And I think I missed a memo, but I think we're ready to just jump right on into it. I thought we were doing Captain's Log tonight, but apparently we're going to do Federation Klingon War tonight instead of next week.
Look at the Facebook. I thought you said we were going to try to knock two of these out.
I don't know. We had Saratoga on the schedule for tonight, and I said next week we should do Tactical Campaign and invite Alan to the show.
Oh, well, I've done too much setup, so we're going to have to jump into it. You know, war does not give you a warning. You just jump
there you
in.
Go.
And
there
so you go. We're doing Tactical Campaign because I got excited. So anyways, that's here fine. It goes.
We were ready to do a nice peaceful exploration, and all of a sudden we got a war. So let's just go.
All right. For people who want to play along or at least see the rules, we are starting on page 76. Of the Federation Klingon War Tactical Campaign Guidebook. We're going to go step by step. And so if all of you are following along, the first thing we do, Jim, is generate our assets. So we're not going to explain the game because we've broken that down over weeks. So I think we just jump in. And the first thing is we generate assets. Now, I've created this really cool map. I'm going to share a screen.
Okay.
And show you
what I got
here.
I'm so excited. You're so excited.
I'm hyper about stuff like this. Can you see this screen I'm sharing here?
Yeah.
Okay. And it says asset notes. You can see all that?
I see asset notes. Okay. I see points of interest.
Okay.
This is the faded out map on the upper right.
Good. So what this is based off notes I had done before for myself on Google, which kind of was ugly. And so today I was like, let's put it together. You're going to see how it works. The first thing we have to do is generate assets. And so on page 77, Jim, it is where we roll for asset types. As per our tradition, I like letting you do the rolls since I'm doing the typing.
Okay. I got my handy dandy dice. So we're going to first roll on the asset type, correct?
Yep.
All right. So the little D20 table in the upper left corner of the page. Mm-hmm. And I rolled a 10. That is one ship asset.
Okay. Those are good. Those are valuable. So now what type of ship are we getting?
So now I'm turning to page 78 and I'm rolling a D20 and I'm going to look at what ship we get here. So I rolled a 5. That is the USS Negrelli Hoover class.
Okay. Now watch something cool. You watching the screen, Jim?
I sure am.
There it is.
Hey, that looks like the car that Al made.
That's right. This is our shout out to Al Spader. Hey, I am using these now. And so here's our first ship, which I put up here.
Brilliant.
That's our first asset. So let's go roll a second asset.
And how about real quick, you just say, look, folks, this is this looks like it's PowerPoint or maybe Google, whatever the Google equivalent is. I don't remember it. And these are just the graphics that you're just dropping in here, right?
So all available on Continuing Missions.
Yeah, this is not high tech, folks. You can do this. Not.
Yep. All right. And, so we'll talk about the breakdown on what each one's superpower is as we play.
Yeah. Another asset.
Yep. Let's do it.
All right, another asset, 19, one character asset.
Those
so
good.
We'll go to 79. I've got a 7. That would be Lieutenant Lawrence Stiles. Oh, yes, the future captain of the Excelsior, for those of you keeping score at home, Lieutenant Lawrence Stiles.
And
in fact, while you're pulling that up, I'll give you the next one here.
Don't go too fast. Don't go too fast for me. Here it is. Hold on. Give me a second. I want everyone
that's
to see
fine,
the
that's
picture.
Fine. That's fine. Take your time.
Bam. There he
Bam.
Is.
Bam. There's
Gotta
Lieutenant
love
Stiles.
The maroon. Gotta love the maroon.
Monster
All right.
maroon.
There we
All
go.
Right. And then the next asset is also a character asset. We have Ambassador Robert Fox.
Oh, nice. You can all go, of course, you know, look all these up as you want. I just love the fact that we're pulling in all these TOS characters.
Oh, okay, I'll hold
boom.
On.
There he is, Ambassador Robert Fox.
Indeed. All right. Now, the next one, I rolled a 14, and it says one character asset if you currently have two or fewer character assets. Otherwise, one ship asset. We have two or fewer character assets, so this is going to be a character asset.
Mm-hmm.
And I rolled a 17, which brings us Vice Admiral Cornwell. Yeah, that's a good character.
There we go.
She is badass.
It breaks my heart. No spoilers.
This is before her fate in Discovery Season 2, which we will not spoil here.
She has a cool superpower to Noble Sacrifice, but we'll keep going.
And then the last one is a 14. So that is also, so this one's going to be a ship asset because we have more than two characters.
Yep.
So the last ship asset is going to be a 14, which is the USS Wallaby Intrepid class.
Oh, love it. Love it.
Got a couple ships, got some characters. We are cooking with gas here.
Let me grab the Wallaby. I'll have all these up soon. There it is. Copy image. See, this isn't too hard, folks, is it? Bam.
Just rolling some dice here.
There's the beautiful Wallaby. Love it. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to spread these assets out just so we can kind of see them here. We got our king. You know, our setting too. You know, we're jumping right into this. Discovery is the setting. You all know the war that's going on now. According to the book, after we have our initial assets set up, the next thing we're going to be doing is going into our points of interest. Okay, so these are the problems that we have got to roll up. Jim, we should be on page 90, or excuse me, 80. And we need to roll up 5 points of interest because this is the first round of our campaign.
All right, here we go. First one is unknown.
Ooh, I love those.
And do we go to the...
Page 83, and you're going to roll on the points of interest
unknown table. There it is. All right, 18. 18, a wrecked starship turns out to be an enemy military vessel in disguise.
That's right, and then you're going to see...
Military 2.
That's right, so look at that. It's all in there. There's our first thing. Military 2 is, of course, the difficulty level that we'll have to beat, and you'll see us play that in action. Let's play set our next point of interest.
Next point of interest is a tactical threat.
Ooh, I hate these. You'll see why.
And then it is a 11. Klingon fleet movements are spotted in this sector. Military 3, urgency 1.
Okay, this is important now, so we'll talk when we play about how we tackle those. So we got military 3, and let me write down urgency 1.
Yep.
Okay, let's go again.
All right, and then I've got let me go back up here. Oop, where is it? There it is, a 6, which is also a tactical threat.
Okay.
And I rolled a 3 on that one. A secret research site is testing illegal weapons.
That's clean.
Personal 1, urgency 2.
Yep. Those dirty Klingons are messing.
Things are heating up here.
They are.
All right, let's go back. We got we got 2 more.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next one is a 12. So that is a exploration mission.
Yes.
Or a point of interest. Excuse me.
Yeah, those are great. Those are usually beneficial for us.
And we got 6 ships traveling through a specific region report experiencing time distortion.
Those time.
Science 2.
It's those Klingons with the time crystals again, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, that's what they're doing. All right. Well, our last point of interest.
Last one, tactical threat. And a 16. That is a starbase is reporting inbound enemy forces.
Oh, this is a bad one.
Military 3.
Really bad one.
Military 3, urgency 3.
Oh, dear. Let's talk. Okay. So now, okay, we're almost there. There's one more thing we have to do before we start addressing these. So everyone, picture us. Me and Jim are admirals at the station, and we have become aware of all these issues. You can see what assets we have at our disposal, right? But still, we have to make an event with this. So after assets have been assigned, we're going to have to assign the assets to this. And then after we assign these assets, we actually have to roll an additional event, which is basically like a complication or an advantage being rolled on this situation. So, Jim, this is where we put our admiral stripes and pips on and kind of figure out We can't solve all the world's problems, but we got to figure out which ones are the most urgent or which ones we let go.
Yeah. Yeah. Tough call.
Okay. So Jim, I'm telling you right now, there's that's the number five, you know, Starbase reporting inbound enemy forces.
Yep.
We only can assign two cards to any one of these.
Mm-hmm.
And
something's going to have to, I mean, at least a couple of these are going to have to be left untouched.
I'm going to say, I know it's going to sound crazy, but I'm going to say we don't respond to the Starbase reporting inbound enemy forces. Oh, I don't think we have the assets, man.
Just immediately sacrifice the Starbase? Oh, dang. Oh, man.
Remember, if we fail on these, they escalate. And if we let multiple ones like number one, number two, and number five escalate, we may not be able to handle any of them if we fail on number five.
Yeah.
And so it hurts me because I say, tell them to evacuate their butts off that station, let it go. And we address number one and number two, if possible, first. What do you think?
Well, I was thinking number two and number three.
Oh, you're right. You got number. Yeah.
Military. Grab the two that are most urgent. And then yeah, maybe
you're right.
Maybe throw something at.
Yep.
Yep. See what we got left, and then either tackle number one because it's military, or number four because it's science.
Okay, I'm going to put these in order of urgency.
Yeah,
I'm going to include. I'll put urgency. I'm going to keep this one at the bottom. The Starbase reporting enemy forces, because this would be a conversation I want you all to I want you all to picture right now, four or five players standing around the table, having this argument as admirals would about how to allocate stuff, but we're jumping right in. And so let's start with the secret research test site testing illegal weapons. Personnel is the number one strength here. Mm-hmm. If you'll look at our cards, we have none of them who have bold personnel. And what that means, everybody, it treats almost like a focus. So if someone has a bold, you can reroll a dice. If you need to, but no one here has bold personals. So should we look at the highest? We have a 14 here, 14, 14. They're all pretty evenly matched, Jim. So
yeah, I think I send the ambassador.
Okay. So we're going to send Fox to this one. So let me go ahead and type that in here.
Yep.
So what I'll do is in brackets, we're sending Fox.
Yep.
Okay. So,
and I mean, this is just my opinion. I mean, I want to hear your feedback. Mm-hmm. I would send Styles and the Wallaby to the Klingon fleet movements.
Yep. Do you think we should assign one more person with? Oh, no, because he can handle that. Okay. Yeah. I agree. Okay. And so, yep. So, Wallaby. Well, Styles commanding Wallaby.
Well, he's just a lieutenant. So, he's probably on the ship. He's not in charge of it.
Okay.
Or he could be. I mean, who knows, right? It's wartime.
His pips fooled me. Okay, cool. So let's just sort this out so we can kind of see what we're doing here. So we know that's taken. Yep. We know Wallaby with Styles is taken.
And then, you know, we could send the other ship to the science one, this ship's traveling through a specific region.
Yeah.
And then we could send Cornwall to number three.
Okay. So we're going to go and hope we get... We're going to send the Negrelli.
Yeah. Is that spreading us too thin, do you think? Or should we take a shot?
No. And let me tell you why I think this works. And Vice Admiral Cornwall. Okay. Let me tell you why I think this works, Jim.
Yeah.
Is one thing I learned in playing the game is roll to earn momentum so that you can apply that to other future ones that might be a little tougher.
Yeah,
because you can use momentum for different things, which we'll see about as we go through here. But now it's time to roll an event on page 84. Now that we've assigned our assets, I'm going to put this in red since we kind of let this one go. Put that in red. That Starbase is reporting inbound enemy forces. So go ahead and roll an event now on page 84. See how this makes our life
first
harder.
It's going to be one of these points of interest. So we're doing that at random. So we'll do.
We do need to select which one, right?
Yeah, so 1 to 4, 6 to 10, 11 to, you know, so on and so forth. So I rolled a 5. So this is going to be the number 2 Styles and Wallaby.
Oof.
And the random event is 17. A well-oiled crew. If you succeed at this problem, gain 2 campaign momentum.
Okay, I like that.
It could, the event can help you or it could hinder you.
That's right. So let's go ahead and put that there. All right. So right, there's so our,
some of these are complications, right?
Well, yeah, this one's a good one. This helps us.
Yeah, but on this table, some of them are complications.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty big deal. All right. So
that was phase one. That was phase one of turn one.
That was. So now what we need to do is actually resolve the problems.
Yep.
Okay. So let's go ahead and run right into it. Let's go with Fox has been sent to research. This ambassador has been sent to research this secret research site testing illegal weapons. Let's see what happens with that. Mm-hmm. 2d20. And since this is personnel, 12 and 2, 14. Yep.
Okay. So I roll a 9 and a 14.
That is with momentum. Good. So success plus 1 momentum on that one. Mm-hmm. That's very good. I'm going to mark it in green because I'm a visual learner and I like seeing stuff like that. Okay. So keep in mind that with success, with this momentum, you can use it for different things. You can use it to purchase additional D20s on a conflict. Just like in STA, the first one costs you 1 campaign. The second one costs you 2 momentum. The third one costs you 3 momentum. Also, campaign momentum can be used that after succeeding at a conflict, we can spend 1 campaign momentum to keep a single resource from being discarded. We haven't rolled up any resource assets yet. Or at the end of the campaign turn, we can buy additional assets costing 2 campaign momentum each. So if we had like 4 campaign momentum at the end of this turn, instead of starting out with 5 assets, we could actually maybe be starting out with 7 potentially. And as you can all see, the more assets you have to cover these conflicts, the better.
Nice.
All right. So in this case, we have 1 momentum and we're going into this second conflict, which is Klingon fleet movement spotted in the sector. Military 3. So we have to get 3 successes, Jim, in order to succeed on this. Should we be spending that momentum so that we're rolling 3 dice plus we get the asset?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so let's see who should lead this now. And the reason I say that is because if you look at the cards, I'll go ahead and make this card larger. Yep. You'll see that many of these assets will be able to provide special power. So in this case, Styles has need for speed. Ship assets assigned with Styles may choose to treat their personal power as primary instead of the primary power they typically have. Not necessary in this case, because this is a military campaign and we see both the ship and Styles are high in military. He has 15 on his military honor roll and the ship has a 14. And because it's bold, we can reroll a dice if we don't like the dice roll on that. So should we let Styles lead this one?
Sure.
All right. So
I'm going to roll 3d20, right? Yep.
And so that means I'm spinning 20. That momentum.
Mm-hmm. I've got an 8, I've got a 9, and I've got a 17.
Okay, we can reroll that 17.
Okay, and I rerolled it into a 14.
Perfect. So
3 successes, right?
Yep. So we spent 1 momentum for extra D20, and then we had a success. Yep. But we still get to roll on the ship 14 too. Because it's with us.
And that's 2d20 on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I rolled a 12 and a 20.
you only get to roll 1 dice, so reroll.
Oh, sorry, just 1 dice then.
It's okay. An assist. Well,
reroll and roll a 13.
All right, cool.
Oh, yeah, so it's an assist. That's right, I forgot.
That's right. So we get success plus 1 momentum back from this.
All right.
Woo! That's a tough one. Military 3, wow. Styles is awesome. I like it.
All right. Okay. Moving on to Cornwall.
Yep. So this is military 2. Let's open up and look what their superpowers are. If a ship asset would be beyond, this won't apply at this point about a ship asset being recoverable. So
it looks like her target number is 13.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Ooh, this is our, should we spin that momentum for three dice again?
Yeah, because she's only, she needs two successes.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
All right. So we're on 3d20 here. Target number is 13. I've got a 6, a 9, and a 19. So two successes, not enough.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, two successes.
Yeah, it's enough. It's just enough, but no momentum.
Right. No momentum, but a success. Good job, Cornwell.
Doing great. All right. All right. We have one last one.
All right.
The Negrelli here. So let's bring that to the front and let's see if they have any superpowers. If the ship rolls on the lost table, we don't know about that yet. Roll two dice and take the highest result. Okay. So for now, though, for the science mission, it's 11 and 3, which is 14, which means we can re-roll if we need to. So let's see how they do on this difficulty 2 mission.
All right. So target number is 14 and we need two successes and we can re-roll once. So, we're in good shape. I rolled an 8 and a 10. So two successes.
Very good.
Nice.
Woo.
Woo. That was...
That's not a bad first round, I'll say.
Deceptively easy.
Okay. I know. So now what we need to do is realize that we have an instant failure with number 5. So I'm just going to go ahead and give us some space so we can see it clearly here. And now I'm going to go over to resolving problems and scenarios, determining outcomes. We're now at determining outcomes, page 87. So let's talk about everything that's unresolved. In this case, we only have one unresolved, and that unresolved is a tactical unresolved.
Yep.
So if we look on page 87, this was an intensity 3, right? Urgency 3.
Yep.
Oof. So we can see exactly what happens. It says the problem becomes catastrophic. The point of interest is removed from play as it escalates beyond a point of resolution. So this poor starbase got blown away. Next turn, we increase the pace of the campaign by 1 and add a new tactical point of interest determined randomly. So we're going to have an additional point of interest. We'll have 6 at least. And we have to roll on the escalation table. So watch what I do, Jim, here. Because it's PowerPoint, this is just people seeing it. I'm actually going to go ahead and duplicate this slide that I have.
Yep.
So I can take notes on this. Watch, I'm going to go ahead and duplicate the slide. So now I'm working on campaign turn 2.
Yep.
The pace is going to be 6.
Yep.
We can wipe all these out
because
we got those point of interest. This one, you go ahead and roll an escalation.
Yep. So here comes the escalation. This is on page 87 for those keeping track. The escalation is number 5, resource drain, lose 2 progression points.
Oh, Lord.
That makes sense to me. We just lost a starbase. That's not good news.
I think so. Okay.
We don't have a lot of those.
All right. So we know everything else was successful. So the question is now we look if we can gain progression. So now we're on page 88. Okay. Yep. So the players are rewarded with progression points as follows. Every exploration point of interest resolved this turn, we get 3 progression points. So we did have an exploration one, right?
Oh, we didn't mark that down, did we?
Yeah, right here. Ships traveling through a specific region report.
Oh, but I mean, we should probably mark it as exploration or routine or.
You're totally right. Yep, we should start doing that. So watch how I do this. I'll just go ahead and go tactical. So for future reference,
tactical.
Number 5 was tactical. What was number 3?
Let me go back to the table. Give me a second.
Was it unknown?
It was unknown.
So there we go. Good point. So we'll mark those. Now, when we go forward, we know that this round we get plus 3 progression points so far. I'm going to use this to track it. Every point of campaign momentum unused at the end of this turn, plus 1. We didn't have that. And role play scenario, as written in the success section of each mission or brief, which we didn't play, Game Master may also choose to reward more points of exceptional successes. But we aren't doing that. We're just playing through the rounds. And if we had 5 points of progression accumulated, we may then roll on the progression table on page 89, but we don't. We only have 3 so far. So I'll just go ahead and note that we have +3 progression here, but I'll put that in green. So we know starting campaign turn 2 that we have 3 progression, and now we still need to roll this time 6. We have to roll 6 POIs, point of interest.
Right. Now the one that's on there, is that going away or is that just going to stay there?
I just put that as a note here. I will make that go away now.
Okay, because we know we're already going to lose 2 progression points at the end of this turn.
Oh,
Or do we lose it now?
No, we lose it now.
We lose it now. Okay,
yeah, we lose it now. So we actually only have 1 progression point.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that hurts. Yeah. That puts us far away. Okay.
We had some successes, but we lost that star base. That's a critical critical blow there.
I think it was worth it. And what's really sad here is we can't roll up. Oh no, sorry. Now what happens is we get to start again, but from rolling up assets. So this is how you roll up assets, everyone. You take the pace of the adventure and you divide it by 2, and that's how many assets you get. So even though we have a bigger pace of 6, meaning we're going to be rolling 6 points of interest, which could be tactical and violent, we at least get 3 assets to add to our group. And we didn't lose any assets last time, which were really cool.
Correct.
Right. So, let me go ahead. I'm going to organize these real quick so that we can see them all.
So you're going to want me to roll up 3 more assets, correct?
That's right.
Okay. So I'll start the next one while you're cracking that up. This is going to be a character asset, and it is going to be number 18, which is Administrator Nancy Hedford.
All right. Administrator Nancy Hedford. Oh, she's so cool. I remember her. Here she is. For all of those who are watching on a
next asset is a ship. It is the USS Dove's Dream, Hiawatha class.
Oh, I love Hiawathas. Those are swiftly becoming my favorite class of ship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Next, we've got a resource asset for the first time. This is going to be an asset type called Federation Agents.
Federation Agents. Those sound fun. And let's grab there.
And those are our 3 assets.
All right. Which is this character from? Now you're going to have to remind me who this is. That looks like somebody from Enterprise.
Yeah, I don't recognize him.
Yeah,
good job, Al. You picked a picture that I don't recognize.
Yeah, you got us. Okay, so we have 3 ships, we have 4 characters, and we have a resource, Federation Agents. As a reminder to everyone, you cannot use a resource asset by itself. It has to be paired with a ship or a character. So just a good rule to remember. All right, so we're back at point of interest rolling here.
All right, here we go. First one, tactical threat. No surprise, we're in a war.
No.
Tactical threat is merchant shipping has come under attack in this sector.
Okay, this isn't bad. I mean, I like the urgency on it is 1 and
difficulty 1, urgency 1.
Yep, I'll take that any day of the week.
Hang on.
You're rolling now another.
Yep. Let me hold on a second. I gotta save this off. Go back up. Okay. Next point of interest is a routine point of interest.
Yes.
And it is a 14 Hearts and Minds mission to beleaguered planet, Medical 1.
So 14 Hearts and Mind mission. I love that.
That'll help us out a little bit.
And you said this is called routine. So I'm going to put a RO there. Oops. Okay.
Next one's a tactical threat. It is beleaguered ground forces require relief.
What number was that one?
18.
18.
It's medical 2, urgency 2.
And it has a note on it too. So let's take a look at, let me read what that note says there.
It says, if the mission succeeds, add 1 to the military and personal values of 1 character asset that was assigned to it.
Okay. I love that, by the way. I have to say, playing this game before, that comes in very valuable.
Yeah.
When you can start upping the ranks of your players and your assets. Okay.
Yeah. And you got the difficulty to urgency too.
Yep.
All right. How many is that? So three more. Okay. Next is exploration. And all signals received from a Federation world are incoherent gibberish. Number 14, social three.
Ouch. That's a high one. We're going to have to really invest in some talent there. Okay.
All right.
Number five, point of interest.
Number five is a tactical threat. An independent world is requesting military aid. Military two or social three.
What number is that, please?
That's number eight.
Number eight, an independent world is. Okay, everyone, you can see how this is really getting hot now. At first, you know, you're feeling good when the day starts, and by the time all the problems land on the war table, you start going to Quark's bar to drink.
And that one's urgent one.
And that's urgency one. Okay. One more.
All right. And then the last one is another tactical threat. Number 15, a prototype weapon requires field testing.
I'm
tired. This one has a note. It's science two, urgency one.
Why are you rolling up all this trouble for us? I don't understand why you're doing this. It hurts my feelings.
The challenges of war, right?
I'm starting to, man, wish we had more admirals here. Okay, cool. So let's take a look here. Whew. Okay, Jim, we're back. This is our campaign point two. We're going to assign our assets and select the scenarios they're going to before we roll on the event table.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So should we put them again in urgency order at the top?
I think okay. So
here we got an tactical urgency two right there, urgency one, or we should take anything with an urgency and definitely put it at the top.
Yeah.
So let's do that. Okay. All right. So we have things with urgency at the top here.
Yep.
All right. Beleaguered ground forces require relief. I pictured the people who evacuated the starbase that was getting destroyed, landed on some moon, and were hunkering down. And now the Klingons are pursuing them and trying to finish off them. We have to help these people, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. So for the first one, what do you think? What do you think? Maybe send the administrator on the Hiawatha?
Exactly. Exactly. So you're saying Administrator Nancy, does she have medicine? Ooh, look at her power, though. This is brilliant, Jim, that you selected her. Read her power.
The first time a tactical point of interest would escalate, it doesn't, and she cannot be used on the next campaign turn. Oh, nice.
That's worth it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so definitely we're going to go ahead and take Nancy for number one on the Hiawatha. The Hiawatha is, of course, look at it. It's a medical ship. Get a load.
19. Well, the Dove's Dream, I guess. The Hiawatha class, but it's the Dove's Dream. Yeah,
get a load of the medical stat.
Awesome medical, yeah.
Isn't that amazing medical?
Maxed out.
I dream that Jet Reno is on there for some reason.
Well, you know, Jet Reno is busy somewhere else right now.
I know. So this is a good deal. I love that matchup right there. So let me write down that, again, we're sending Doves/Hedford.
Yep.
Very cool. Gotta love these TOS characters. All right. Next, we have the merchant ship. Merchant shipping has come under attack in the sector. We need a military one. We could assign one person to this at first just to see how it looks, right?
Sure. Who we got? Who's that? Oh, is that Styles? Let's send Styles to that.
Yeah. And if we need to do another ship.
Well, actually, there might be another medical one that's more effective for him. Maybe we should send him to the next one, to number three.
Military, you're right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, you're right. So let's go ahead and put Styles there.
Yeah.
That's military two, so should we give a ship to him?
Well, he does have a focus, so he could reroll. So okay, might be enough.
Let's put that for now. Let's put Styles there for now.
Yeah.
At this point. Okay. And then let's go back to this. We need somebody with a military one.
How about the Negrelli?
So go the ship on its own, improved hull, Yeah, it could do that. Let's see what the Intrepid class here. They have a military here, though. See, they have 10 and 4. Okay.
So, let's do the Intrepid then.
Okay, so the Wallaby.
Wallaby, yeah.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and send the Wallaby there. Looking good. I'm feeling pretty good about this so far. Now we're at a prototype weapon that is Science 2, Urgency 1. And so we do have the Negrelli, which is Science 11 and 3. And yep. It's bold power.
Yep.
And let's see, do we have anybody else with Science? No, but we should assign, you think we should assign somebody with them? We could try to tackle everything. If we get enough momentum early on with some of the other ones, we can give these other cards an extra dice, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
And we could try to, let's take a look. Because see, we have a social 3 here, and it's exploration, which means we get bonus progression points if we succeed.
Right.
And then we have some people here who are high on social, like Vice Admiral Cornwell.
Uh-huh.
Nothing stops us from sending two people together, right?
Right.
Two characters.
Well, so let's send the Negrelli by itself to number 4.
Okay.
And then let's send Fox to number 5. And then let's send Cornwall and the agents to number 6.
I love that. Okay. That's good agreement there. So let's go Fox.
If you don't agree, that's okay.
But, I totally agree.
That's what I'm just thinking here.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Oh, this is stressful.
I know. You're just getting remember, we're just showing people around 1 and 2 in this episode, and we'll continue in another one. So let's see how we end up. So we got the Fed agents. And you know what's cool about this, actually, that you did that? I think Cornwall, let me look. If a ship asset would be beyond recovery. Oh, no. So I remember there was one that you could get a resource back. That's if we spend momentum. Okay, so we got our groups set to go, and I'll put them all in order as we're going to roll these out. Mm. So that's the order that we're rolling them out.
Okay.
So this will be super interesting. All right. Let's start at the beleaguered ground forces require relief. I feel so sorry for these people, but again, if the mission succeeds, we add +1 to the military and personnel values of one character asset that was assigned to it. So this would be assigned to Nancy Hedford. So if you see here on the left, I put asset notes, and I put those asset notes for stuff like this, Jim, so we'd have reminders of it when we assign them.
Oh, nice.
If there's bonuses.
Very slick. That.
Okay.
Very slick.
Medical 2, urgency 1. So we're going to let's see, her medical is 12 and 2, which is 14. Oh, but come on, we're leading with the Hiawatha class. It's a 19 medical. So we can't lose. Come on. We're getting momentum on this one, Jim.
I mean, we could lose. We could roll 2 20s, right?
Please don't. All right, 20s are bad. 20s are bad.
All right, I'm rolling 2d20, and the target number is 19, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, I rolled a 9 and a 19, Michael.
It's still just 2 successes.
Two successes, but I'm saying I rolled a 19. We could have almost rolled a 20.
You're scaring me. All right, Nancy Hedford. She has a medical of 12 and 2.
And I rolled a 15, so no help there.
No help there, and we still succeed, though.
Yep.
With no momentum.
Yep, yep.
Whew. Okay, I'm feeling pretty good about this so far. Whew. That success there. All right, now the Wallaby just Wallaby on its own.
Wallaby, yep.
Is going out to take care of this merchant shipping that has come under attack in this sector from those scurrilous Klingons.
Yeah, so, go Wallaby.
Yeah, military 1. And if we look at their military score, their military score is 10, 4, and it's bold. So we can reroll a dice if we need to. So it's 14. So
14, and we need 1 success. Mm-hmm. I rolled a 5 and a 7. So that's 2 successes. So our success and momentum.
Awesome. I like hearing that.
And we'll hold on to that momentum because we might need it later.
Exactly. 6 success +1 mom. Okay, cool.
Yep.
+1 mom.
Styles stepping up. Independent Worlds requesting military aid. All right.
This is before he was on the Excelsior getting all snotty. This is what made him stuck up, I think.
So what's he looking at? Military or social is better? Probably military.
Yeah, definitely. Military is 13 and 2. And let's take a look here. Ship assets assigned with style. Okay, he's not. He has no ship assets assigned with him this moment.
Target number is 15. We need 2 successes.
Yes, we do.
I got an 11 and a 12. So that's the 2 successes. Woo! Styles rocking it.
He sure is. Okay, good. And we still have a one momentum in the bank.
Momentum, yep. Okay, so, next, Negrelli going after the science thing.
Yep, and the keep 11. A note. There's a note that if this ship rolls on the loss table, if it loses, it rolls two dice and takes the highest result. We'll talk about loss if we ever get one. So,
Target number is 13. We need two successes.
Target number is 14.
14, sorry. Okay. I rolled a 6 and a 19, but we can re-roll that because it's
bold. Yes, we can. Oh, you're right. Thank you.
So that turns it into a 4. So that is two successes.
Yes. We are doing good. We are good admirals. Get the Rock DiGino ready. Oh, wait. I'm not drinking no Rock DiGino. That's Klingon swill. I don't want Rock DiGino.
The loss of that starbase is fading in our minds.
Well, we did save the evacuees on the planet.
That's true. There you go.
We saved them. So, I mean, yeah, it's bad to lose a starbase, but come
on.
All right. Now, hearts and minds mission to... Okay, but look, now, after that happened, we send Robert Fox back to that planet to help soothe the hearts and minds of those beleaguered people. So there let Fox fix it. We need a medical one.
What's his score?
11 and 1. And it says, and he's not assigned with a ship asset, so it doesn't apply. So let's see how he does.
Target number 12, 2d20. I rolled a 12 and a 16. So one success was enough to get it done.
Okay, good. And we still have a momentum in the bank, too.
We do, yep. So we can just hold on to that for now.
Oh, now this is the hard one.
All right.
We got Cornwell, who's social. Her social is 13.3, but bold. So we get a reroll. So 16 is her target number. That's great. And then we have Federation agents who are also 16 that can help. So basically, we have 3d20 that we're rolling here, Jim. Do we want to buy an extra dice, or we trust that these two can do it with a reroll from Cornwell?
Let's hedge our bets and hope that it's okay.
Yep.
Let's hold on to that. Because we can carry that momentum over to the next turn, right?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what we got here. Target number was what? 15?
16.
16. Okay. Well, I rolled a 4, a 10, and a 13. So that's three successes. No momentum.
Yes. Okay. This is a great round. This was a tough pace. We had 6 pace.
Yeah.
But we had some really good assets. This is way better than I did by myself, just so you know.
Yeah. Although I should emphasize that most of these have been like just exactly what we needed, right?
Yeah.
We're right on the razor's edge.
Okay. So at this point, we did really well. Did we roll an event on this too?
Oh, no, we did not.
I thought we did.
No, we didn't. We skipped over that bit. So we'll just
roll randomly. Yeah.
Gosh, I'm going to roll randomly for 1 to 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 18, and then I'll roll again. Okay. 6. So that would be number 2 gets to the event. And the event is betrayal from a crew member. Increase all personal and military difficulties by 1. Okay. So this would mean
all
personal and military difficulties. Yeah.
Wait, that means.
Oh, shit. We should have probably done this. We need to remember to do this.
Well, no. You're supposed to assign it to a random and let's see if we failed.
Well, the random is number 2. But the
wallabies
says all.
No. But wait, hold on. What number is that again? That event, please.
7. Betrayal from a crew member.
Increase all personal. Yeah, but it's only for that. It's applied to one.
Oh, just that one
event.
Okay.
One random event. So that eats up that momentum. We're still successful.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Okay. So
we just don't have the momentum then.
Yeah. So I'm going to put a reminder here for ourselves because I did this a couple times. So I put reminder.
Event.
Roll event.
Yep.
Okay, because that is very important.
Keeping it honest, folks. We're keeping it honest.
Yeah, we're keeping it honest. But the universe has been nice to us so far. So I'm going to go ahead and hit boom. Okay, so we'll remember that. So now let's go ahead. We've succeeded on everything. We have 0 campaign momentum because that issue just took away our momentum.
Yep.
However, if you'll remember, now we go over to determining outcomes. We had nothing fail. So now we get to gain progression and we gain 3 progression because of the exploration point that was resolved. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and one more time, I'm going to duplicate this slide. We had 1 progression at first. Now we're at 4 progression.
Yep.
We're in campaign turn 3 at the beginning of this. pace would be set back at 5.
Yep.
And all of these have been resolved.
Hooray.
So we go back to having to set it again. That wasn't it. Just so you all know, we got through 2 campaign turns in about 45 minutes.
Awesome.
I plan, just so people who are listening, I plan when I'm out at the D8 Summit in Indianapolis to run this during a 4-hour segment and try to get through the entire thing. And I'm going to try to pull in a mission brief, just a 1-act, not 3 acts, nothing like that. But I want to then convert it so that for one of the missions, we grab a mission brief from this, we go down, we handle it in 1 act, and then come back up.
Mm-hmm.
And see what happens. Like, condense it for that thing. So what do you think, Jim? Was this your first time playing it with somebody?
This is my first time playing with somebody. Yeah, I did it by myself a lot and did a lot of play testing, but this is the first time doing it with somebody. And gosh, it's nice to have the workload split up between 2 people. Makes it a little bit more efficient.
Yeah. And I'm curious, you know, I'm the type, you know, how I like things really, really tough. Mm-hmm. I think if we had 4 people around the table, that's my goal, is to have 4 people around the table, that I would actually divide up the assets among them. So as they roll, they get assigned around the table a little bit.
Yeah.
And people get to decide what they want to do with theirs. And I'm going to have to try to figure out how to create some sort of bargaining element between the players. Maybe bring a bunch of Reese's Pieces or something. That
there you go. I like it.
You're like, oh, you want it there? Yeah, cool. All right, everybody. That was our first 2 rounds. We're going to do 3 and 4 in an upcoming episode. Again, this is the opportunity for all of you to watch. If you look on YouTube, you're going to see all the cards and how we're kind of typing and keeping track of this stuff. But just something for you all to see how fun this Federation Klingon tactical campaign is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any final comments, Jim, before we continue the conversation?
Good. Before we go to gratitude and then call it a night. No, I think this is fun. I had a lot of fun working on this with you, going through this scenario with you. And gosh, I think, hey, BC Holmes, I think you got your work cut out for you. If you want to figure out how to incorporate this into the character builder, I think this whole tactical campaign is just begging for an app to pull up the cards and to have an organized way of doing it all. I mean, obviously we didn't have the resources, but maybe some enterprising fan out there, no pun intended, will find a way to make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, my thank you also is that we now actually have a board game for Star Trek Adventures. As you saw, to me, this felt very much more like a board game with cards.
Yeah.
And with the map honestly, if you see the map behind me, everybody, the way I would do it is I would actually have the ships at these different locations. Mm-hmm. And I would actually, just to create the story and narrative in my mind, I may even make a little penalty that if they're assigned like 2 sectors away, that maybe they're not available.
Yeah.
For the next, you know, there's different ways I might mix this up to make it even more like a tactical game. But anyways, we'll talk about it more next week. For now, I want to give my gratitude to Al Spader. Why? Because of these cards. These cards are kick butt visuals that I need when I'm playing a game. And you saw how it really made a difference where we didn't have to flip through pages. I could just slap these down and we had them for quick reference. So thank you, Al, for designing these cards, and they're all free on continuing missions.
There you go. And my gratitude is to Al and to Ivan Sorensen, and to the whole team that worked on developing this tactical campaign and the book. Thanks so much to all of you for pulling this together at a point in time where I just didn't have the bandwidth to really fully focus my attention on it. So grateful that you all were able to pick it up and run with it, just like Michael ran with Captain's Log. And I was able to kind of, you know, manage the reins, and you guys are off and running and getting it done. So thank you so much for all the hard work that you did. Great job. And of course, thank you to all the fans. Without you fans, we wouldn't be doing this. So thank you for supporting the game. Thank you for supporting each other. Really appreciate you. And I hope you appreciate these awesome games that we're creating for you and these awesome tools that we're sending your way. Because I'm already, like, even as we were going through this, I was spinning up ways in my head about how I could incorporate this into Captain's Log, where I can use this as a framework to like here's what's happening in the war, and now I'm going to play Captain's Log to bring my story into it, influenced by those events that are happening. So
I mean,
as a way to tie it all together.
Yeah, I mean, I got to add, tonight we could have had a quick mission trying to evacuate the station. We could have been on that planet trying to save the evacuees, or we could have been on this mission for the merchant ships stopping piracy. I mean, there's just so many ways I could say, hey, let's zoom in on this crew and watch them do their job. It was so fun.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. So till next week, we're going to continue this, everybody. We're going to hit a couple more campaign turns just to see where it goes and if we can stop the Klingons from taking over the Federation. Mm-hmm. IDIC.
Live long and prosper. Be safe. Be well. We'll talk to you next time.